Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting from chapter 1. If you need a Bible, if you're new, raise your hand. If you're not new, pick it up before you get in. First Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God, says Jesus is a curse, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills." Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, God, for Your word, Lord. We thank You, God, that we are in partnership with the Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring about Your purposes here on earth. And Lord, we come humbly before You, God, before Your word, God, and we ask You to teach us, Lord. Father, we ask that You release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, we thank You. We love You so much, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. He starts off this letter in Corinthians, and if you want to know kind of a structure of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12 begins two more chapters of a distinct teaching on spiritual gifts. And he starts off by telling the church in Corinth, hey man, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know, I want you to know and understand. I want you to be knowledgeable about these things. The church in Corinth was, almost every scholar that you've ever written on the subject was a very carnal church. They were a very gifted church, but they were a very carnal church. They were still weighing through, you know, the Greek thought of the time, through also the Christian thought of the time. And they were wrestling between those two things. And so Paul, very straight up, in the very beginning, says, look, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be knowledgeable about something here. You know, and so I'll say this at church, and I'm going to give you a little bit of my philosophy in some ways. You know, we don't really spend a lot of time teaching on spiritual gifts, you know, or any of these things. And some people will say, well, why not? Well, you know, my response is always that I believe the gifts of the Spirit, I believe the present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit is what I call normative Christian behavior. In other words, this is what normal Christians do. Right, this is, you know, how Christians have done it from day one, and this is how they'll continue to do it until this day. What I find a lot, you know, from quote unquote charismatic churches, and other churches that emphasize spiritual gifts and Holy Spirit, you know, what I find a lot of charismatic churches is that every single week they're talking about spiritual gifts. You know, every single week they're talking about demons and angels and all these things, and you know, and I want to bring a sort of a balance to my church, obviously. You know, yes, there are demons, there are angels, but there's a lot more than that in the Bible, you know. And things, and what I want to draw the congregation into is normative Christian behavior. My thought process is if I teach on it every week, you know, if I talk about it all the time, then it's not normative behavior. It becomes special behavior, you know. And so I try the best that I can, not to necessarily minimize it, you know, but to speak on it sporadically here and there because it's normative Christian behavior. You guys understand what I'm saying? You know, because I've been to places and, you know, and my students, you know, that I've taught for years, and then they moved on to different churches, you know, different ministries, and the response always back to me is, Pastor Sam, this guy talks about demons every single week. You know, they talk about this every single week, you know, and it gets away from normative Christian behavior and things. And so, you know, so we go on. But obviously, you know, as we're getting closer to our conference, and I'll be really honest with you, right? Our conference that we're having is going to shock some of you, right? I'll just be straight up, right? You know, it's going to jar some of you. You know, it's going to test the limits of your thinking. You know, it will stretch your theology in some ways. You know, but as your pastor, I'm going to tell you, everything's going to be biblical. You know, and I know that you come from many different backgrounds. You come from many different, you know, denominational affiliations and whatnot. But we're going to introduce you to something, you know, that is a little different, right? Do I have permission as your pastor to do that? Yes, I do, right? And so, that's how we're going to be led. And trust me, you know, the first time Rob and Mary came years ago, I think a lot of our guys were scared to death, you know, until they came into the gift, or I should say, or they came to an understanding, and a lot of people, their lives got changed, you know. In fact, let me just, as a bit of a survey, some of you guys that were here, they've been here twice. How many of you guys were really, really affected by their prophetic ministry? Right? Nice and high. Now, okay, thank you. See, this is kind of a reflection of how church has grown, you know, and things. And everyone that raised their hand, they were there during that time and things. And I just want to encourage you that it's going to be it's a wonderful time. Let me just do a quick overview, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do today and the next week. I'm going to give you a very general picture of spiritual gifts, of more of the gift of prophecy. And then next week, I'm going to get down a little bit more into the nitty-gritty of it all, okay? So just to give you an idea. And then obviously the next week is our conference. And so then you can enjoy, you know, what we have been teaching, right? The scriptures in 1 Corinthians 12 and also in Romans chapter 12 is the list of spiritual gifts. These are gifts, right? The word is charis, grace. You know, these are gifts of grace that God gives to the church for a purpose, to build up the church, to build up the body of Christ. And so the gifts are categorized in three different headings. There's what we call the sign gifts, and this would be like healing, you know, this would be like the gift of deliverance, you know, like casting out demons. You know, it's kind of what you can see, right? These are what we call sign gifts, or gifts of miracles and this type of stuff. There's another category of gifts. It's called the service gifts. And these service gifts are the gifts of administration, the gifts of hospitality, you know, these other gifts that are more geared towards service, you know, which is a spiritual gift. You know, I don't know, I travel so much, especially before I came to Hong Kong, and, you know, always speaking at places. I know when I entered into a house where there's a gift of hospitality, whereas I enter into a house where people are just nice. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, as a person that travels a lot and I experience, I know the difference. When I walk into a house and the owners of the house have a gift of hospitality, I feel like it's my house. You know, like I would feel okay to open the fridge, eat whatever I want. You know, like eat everything in the house. You know, turn on the TV. I don't care what they're watching. I just turn on to my ESPN or whatever. You know, and I would be okay with it, and they would be okay. It's just a gift. You just sense this. You know, just being in so many people's houses, and then you know when you're in a house when the gift is not flowing, you know, and you feel like you just can't do anything, you know. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Because obviously you have the permission, but I'm just differentiating the gift and not the gift. And so there is a gift that God gives to people in the area of service. You know, there are some of you that are gifted in administration. You know, in other words, there's all these pieces flowing out, and you can just put everything in such a specific order that goes beyond the natural gift or an acquired trait. Right? It's a spiritual gift that God gives to the church. The other gift, and every single pastor that's worth their salt has these gifts under their belt, and this is what we call the word gifts. Right? This would be the gift of teaching. You know, this would be sometimes. Obviously, prophecy, word of knowledge, you know, on all these things. Kind of where the spoken word or where there's speech involved, this would come under that heading, right? So there's sign gifts, right? There's word gifts, and there's service gifts. And so these are kind of the three main headings, and you can speak on all of them through that. And maybe, you know, somewhere down the line, we'll teach on that at some point, you know, and get moving along that line. What I want to talk about today is the gift of prophecy. And I want to talk about prophecy as a heading, but also talk about two other gifts that are attached to the gift of prophecy, which is the gift of word of knowledge and the gift of the word of wisdom. And so the gift of prophecy, let me define it for you really quick. The gift of prophecy, right, is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to receive and communicate an immediate message of God to his people through a divinely anointed utterance. That's right. I'm moving in the gift of prophecy. I'm going to say it again, okay? The gift of prophecy, right, is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to receive and communicate an immediate message of God to his people through a divinely anointed utterance. You don't have to be so concerned with writing everything down and stuff, right? Actually, the website is up, praise God, right? And so everything's up. You can go look online. All the messages are there, and you don't need to worry about that. Let me give you an idea of how this works. So one of my mentors, he was up and coming, being bred to be the president of Dallas Seminary. He had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, got asked to leave the seminary, and he wrote a book called Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. I recommend any of you to read this, especially if you're on the fence about, you know, did the gifts cease at the apostolic age, what we call the cessationist movement, you know, to kind of the gifts operate today. This is a great theological work, you know, by Jack Deere. And so Jack tells a story, you know, and I love this story. Years ago, he was on staff at a church, and, you know, there were many pastors on staff. And so what they would do on staff is every, you know, kind of like once every 2 months, the staff person, would have to go and teach Sunday school on Sunday night, you know, at church. And so, you know, he went, and, you know, Jack tells a story, and he says, you know, he didn't even pray. He thought he was awesomely overqualified to teach kids, right? And so what he was going to do, right, because, I mean, this guy's got a PhD, THM. He taught semantic, in other words, Old Testament language and literature and seminary. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff, right? It's not like he just taught, you know, like, you know, missions or something. I mean, this guy was a scholar and a half. And he goes, and he thought, you know, he didn't even pray. I'm going to go teach Sundays. I don't even need to pray because I'm awesomely overqualified. And what he thought he would do, he thought he would just have a simple question and answer session. And he thought, you know, what are these kids going to ask me that I don't already know? I am awesomely overqualified to teach kids. And so he walks up, right, with God's Bible in his hand, you know, very sure of himself. And he says, you know what, Pastor Jack is here. You know, you guys have any questions at all, just lay it on me and I'll answer for you. The first kid that raises his hand says, Pastor Jack. You know, I says, okay, well, you know, what do you have for me? He says, hey, Pastor Jack, why do good things happen to bad people? You know, and Jack goes, yeah, that's a good question, you know. Philosophers and people have been asking that for ages. And, you know, then he shares some, you know, God is in relationship with people, blah, blah, blah. You know, it didn't get anywhere. He definitely knew that he did not impress this little kid, right? And so he moved on. All right, next question, right? Another kid raised this question. He says, Pastor Jack, hey, why did God create the devil? You know, and Jack saw, that's another good question. Right, so he goes back, well, you know, God's in partnership, blah, 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 and he totally got nowhere with these kids, right? And he's just feeling humiliated. And then he happened to bring along these two young guys, and they were prophets in training, you know, and he was at the end of the row. These kids were asking all this. He couldn't answer any of these questions. And so another kid asks a question. He says, Pastor, you know, he raises his hands, and he goes, hey, you know, what did they eat in the ark? For those 40 days, you know, and he's like, and by this time, Jack is quite upset at these guys and says, I don't know what they ate. Another kid raised their hand and goes, I know. Because what? Because they ate fish, right? So he didn't get anywhere with these kids, right? He didn't impress anyone during this time. So what happens is he gets these two prophetic guys next to him and he basically gives them, hey, you guys got something? You know, in other words, he's like, let me throw you to the wolves kind of thing. And so one of the guys, young guys who's learning, right, to hear God's voice, he says, yeah, God gave me a few things. And, you know, there's a lady, a teacher up there, you know, God, you know, and he just shares a word with her. And he says, and the what stuck to me in this example was, there's this girl here, yeah, you in the red hair. You know, God showed me, as I walked in the room, God showed me that you were on your bed last night and you prayed this prayer. You know, and you prayed and you said, Lord, do you really love me? Do you really love me? You know, and so the young prophetic guy says, and I want to tell you, sweetie, the Lord really, really loves you. He really does. He heard your prayer. You know, and so afterwards, right, because now you have to test it, you know. And so afterwards, Jack, he didn't know if these guys were all, you know, on target or whatnot. So he went up to this little kid and asked, you know, hey, little girl, was that accurate what that guy said about you? And she said, yeah. And he goes, well, can you tell me what happened? And basically, her parents are going through a divorce. And as a little girl, you know, I was about 7 years old, she feels like it's her fault. And so when she was crying last night in bed, and she was really asking God, because she thought she was breaking up her parents, you know, and she asked and said, God, do you really love me? Do you really love me? You know, and so Jack asked the girl, says, well, you know, are you still, you know, unsure? You know, and the little girl says, no, I know now that God loves me. You know, and actually I missed out a whole part. The young guy actually talked about his kids getting a divorce. You know, it was a pretty accurate prophetic word. You know, and afterwards, Jack, he was, you know, contemplating this time. And this is his thought was, why wouldn't anyone want to have this in their church? You know, I mean, you know, if you know Jack's story, his dad committed suicide when he was a young boy. And he grew up his whole youth. He grew up that whole time wondering if it was his fault. He actually got in an argument with his dad. He actually disobeyed his dad just before he committed suicide. And all these years growing up, Jack thought it was his fault. He went through years of counseling, all this inner healing, all these things. And he was contemplating this, and he was thinking, you know, here's this little kid, and she won't have to go through those years of counseling that I went through, you know, as Jack's saying, as that he went through. You know, it was the word of God. It was the prophetic word that brought life. Why wouldn't you want that in your church? You know what I mean? I mean, why wouldn't you, you know, why wouldn't we welcome something like this? You know, but at the same time, you know, being very honest, the prophetic is also quite messy. You know, Jack was also sharing with me that same young prophet guy went into another meeting and shared with a bunch of pastors, you know, about some sin, and he was way off target. You know, created a huge mess. He had to come in and intervene and do all these things. The prophetic is messy. You know, but that doesn't mean we just throw the whole thing out, you know, in that same way. You know, and the gift of prophecy, right, is a gift that God gives to the church. You know, I know that even sitting in this room, there's a handful, probably more than a handful of you, that you have a gift of prophecy, right, that you are already operating in, or some of you are not operating it, and you should be operating it, because it builds the body of Christ. In Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, every time that the spiritual gifts are mentioned, it's also connected to talking about the body of Christ. Why does Paul do that? Why does Paul link gifts to the body? Right, because he's trying to show us that the gifts God gives to individuals in the body of Christ to build up the church, the gift is not for us. It's not so I can feel spiritual, or, you know, I can feel so powerful, or all these things, right? The gifts are given to build the body of Christ, to build the church. Yeah, it's really cold in here, man. Can we turn it down or something? Right? The gift of the word prophecy today, a lot of times we use it in terms of meaning predicting the future, right? This is kind of our common idea. You know, years ago, our junior high pastor, one Friday night, he thought that he would, you know, he was praying, and God kind of showed him that they needed to take control over their neighborhood. Well, across the street, you know, this person had the audacity, right, to open up a fortune-telling place right across the street from our church. You know, so our junior high pastor was very upset with that. You know, and he said, man, you ain't coming into my neighborhood, you know, kind of thing. And so he went and got all of his youth group kids, right? They walked across the street, you know, after worship, and they started praying. And it was this huge, like, glass, you know, window, right? And they started praying for, you know, and basically just rebuking the enemy and, you know, get out of this neighborhood kind of thing. Well, the people inside got so scared, right? Because these kids are laying their hands on the glass, you know, and this glass is moving. It's like people are knocking on the door and stuff. I wouldn't recommend this, you know, but, you know, youthful exuberance, right? And so these kids are, you know, and then the fortune teller inside actually called the police, you know, and stuff. And the police came and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was kind of a fun mess. It was no big deal, right? And things. And so, and afterwards, you know, the youth pastor and the kids were like, man, if they're really fortune tellers, they would know we're coming, you know? And so, but obviously they didn't know and things. But that's kind of the idea that most of us have, right? Is prophecy is foretelling the future. You know, that's just one part of prophecy. You know, there is part of predicting the future. Like this week, I got a chain of emails from a very prophetic person in the U.S. And you know, he actually, the end of the email I was reading, I was like, whoa. And he was basically saying that Asia is going to experience earthquakes and cyclones and all these things. And the word, the message for the church at that time was to pray for Asia. You know, and that word went out about a week and a half ago. Since then, we had the thing that happened in Burma, the thing happened here in Sichuan, and it looks like we will be experiencing more things happening in Asia. And so it's, he's basically stirring the church all over the world to pray for Asia, you know, as a sign of something else that's happening. And so there is a part where there is a predicting of the future, but that's not all. Some people find it difficult to realize that the biblical use of the word includes not only the future, but also a word for the present. Right? The gift of prophecy has been used much more for dealing with present situations, right, than with future events. The Greek word to prophesy is basically means to speak forth or to speak to one another. Right? Those who have the gift of prophecy receive personal inspiration about God's purpose in a concrete situation. That's what the gift of prophecy, right? Is they receive personal inspiration about God's purpose in a concrete situation. That's basically how I would lay this out. Now, can prophets err? Yes, prophets can commit error. You know, they must be open to correction, you know, by the rest of the body. 1 Corinthians 14, if you look at a few chapters later on, 1 Corinthians 14, 29, he says, and let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. Right? And so when someone brings forth a prophetic word, right, it's for us to come and to judge the word and see if it's valid. Obviously, the main judge of the prophetic word is the word of God. Right, you know, if the Holy Spirit is the one that's releasing these gifts, why would the Holy Spirit contradict His written word? It just doesn't make sense. You know, if you're married, you know, and you got a prophetic word that you should get divorced, that's not from God, right? That's your own demented mind, and that's from the devil. I just straight up, right? Don't come talk to me. You know, I might do something to you. Right? I'm just being very honest. Don't give me any of that stuff. That's your own selfish flesh operating. It's not the word of the Lord. Right? God would never have us contradict His word, you know, His written word that He's given us as revelation. This is very important. You know, and so we understand this. Now, obviously, the word of God, there's nothing, like, not everything is in the word. You know what I mean? It's like, is it written in the word where you should live? Does it say, thou shalt move to Hong Kong? Right? I don't see that anywhere in the Bible, right? And so we obviously see that everything doesn't have to be in the Word, but it has to align to God's Word. The way that we judge, it cannot contradict the Word of God, right? And it cannot contradict God's nature, right? Or His personality, right? I always judge prophetic words based on those things. If it doesn't contradict God's Word, it doesn't mean that it has to be in God's Word, because there's so much, you know, that are outside of the Word of God, right, in terms of direction. You know, and also, does it contradict His character, you know, that we receive revealed in God's Word, right? And so these are kind of important things for us to understand. You know, true prophets are willing to be corrected, right? That's why when we come for the conference, and I hope that you all do come, that we're going to record every single prophetic word, right? And we're going to record it. You're going to get a copy of it. You know, in fact, I totally forgot. I was going to bring you my prophetic notebook. I actually have a notebook, you know, of the years that I've received prophetic words, you know, and I just keep it there. And I'll be honest, every once in a while when I get really discouraged, you know, or just feel very lost, I'll go back to those words, you know, and I'll say, okay, God, yes, you know, it's like a refocus for me, you know, and especially to see that, you know, about 90% of those words have come true already, you know, and I expect the next 10% to come true in later years to come. Right, and so I keep a notebook personally for myself, and I have all the tapes, and I keep all that stuff, and I transcribe, you know, the tapes that I've received, and I just keep it in a notebook, and it's just good for me to do that, and I encourage you to do that as well, you know. And so we record everything because, you know, we want accuracy, you know what I mean? I mean, that's really what we're going for. That's what God's into, right? And things, and so we record all these things. And so most prophets, you know, the true ones are willing to be corrected. You know, they want their words to be tested. And when they're wrong, you know, they'll openly admit to it. And so that's what we go for. for us that are receiving prophetic words, you know, those who receive the benefit of the gift, you know, you can expect comfort, you can expect guidance, you can expect a warning, you can expect encouragement, you can expect admonition, judgment, edification, and a lot of times you can expect confirmation. You know, there are a lot of times in my life where I felt like God wanted to move me from A to B or something, you know, and I felt the assurance that I was following God's lead in the fact that there were so many confirmations that came my way. You know, I'd be somewhere, you know, and someone would come and pray for me, and it would just basically say the same thing that someone said last week praying for that topic, you know, and then I go somewhere else, and another person would come up, and, you know, and it would be almost the same exact picture. You know, and I recognize that God is confirming, you know, what I should be doing or what I'm already doing. You know, and this has been kind of a common experience for me personally, you know, that seems to be quite common, you know, throughout the Christian world as well. You know, and for me personally, I have just incredibly greatly benefited from prophetic ministry. You know, I'll be really honest, you know, for me personally, you know, some of you guys know, I didn't grow up in the church, right? And so, you know, like I never grew up with youth group, and I kind of feel bad about that. You know, my parents were good old pagans, right? And things, and so we never had church experience, never, you know what I mean? And so our first church experience is actually in a Southern Baptist church that my parents, and you guys know my parents are Southern Baptist missionaries. You know, and so, you know, and not all the Southern Baptist church, but most of them are quite ambivalent towards the gifts of the Spirit, you know. And if you're Southern Baptist, I don't mean to offend you or anything like that, you know, but, you know, I'm just being honest, right? If you look at their general counsel and the bylaws, it's clearly written out their ambivalence to the present-day ministry of the Spirit. And so that's where I grew up. And so when I first came to encounter a prophetic ministry, I'll be really honest, I was really put off, you know. And my first thing was like, who do you think you are? You think you're Moses or something? You know, like, you know, are you some kind of prophet? You know, last time, your name's not Ezekiel. You know, like, how dare you do so? I'm just being real honest, right? And I felt like, who are you to do this? But then I couldn't deny the accuracy of the word. You know what I mean? I just couldn't deny that it had some effect. I tell you, one of the first times I was sitting in church, you know, and the pastor of the church, some of you guys may know, his name is John Wimber, and I used to go to Sunday night at the Vineyard. And this is while I was youth pastoring, and I was being exposed to the spiritual gifts. And I remember one particular, I was sitting way in top, and it just blew me away. And he was there in service, and he just announced, and I think you didn't have to do this, but he just announced. And he said something like, all right, there's 43 people, and you need to receive Jesus today. And you're going to come up to the front right now. I'm like, dang, you know, I mean, that's like putting yourself out there, right? And so slowly, people started coming up, right? And this was at a Christian conference. And so, you know, like these conferences, we assume that they're Christians, you know what I mean? And so, I mean, if you're doing a Sunday service, then sure, you know, there might be some non-believers, but like this is a conference for Christian leaders, you know what I mean? And he says, 43 people need to receive Christ today. And so they start coming up, and I'm sitting there, I'm counting, 1, 2, 3. You know what I mean? This is new for me, like 15, 20, you know. And we're getting to like, there's one missing. You know, and he's so calm. He's just like, he's just sitting back. And he says, all right, hurry up. You know, come on up. We're going to wait for you. You know, and some poor people straggle up. And we get to like 42. And no one's coming. He says, come on, come right now. No one's moving, right? And I'm thinking, oh, poor John Wimber. Man, if the guy just would have said, like, just come up. Why do you have to number the people? You know, like, he put himself out there. Now he's going to look like a failure kind of thing. I mean, I was really feeling bad for him. All of a sudden, he sat there and he kind of scratched his head and he goes, well, you're a woman, right? Talking about the 43rd person. You're a woman, you know, and you don't want to come because your friends are next to you and you think that they think, right, or they think that you're a Christian. And so just come on up, right? And I was thinking, oh, no one budges. No one moves, right? And so then he goes, okay, all right, you're wearing a purple blouse and you have shoulder pads, right? Come on up. Now he's getting more, he goes, no one moves. And then finally says, you're from Seattle, hurry up, come on up, right? Next thing you know, this lady from the back walks up with a purple blouse with shoulder pads, right? This was, you know, late 80s, right? We don't wear shoulder pads anymore, right? With shoulder pads, she walks up, you know, and John goes, "Where are you from?" He says, "Yeah, I'm from Seattle." Like, I was like, "Oh, wow." You know, and she gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and so that was my introduction to these things. And, you know, and at first, you know, it makes you a bit uncomfortable. Because then at the same time, it's like, well, what if you know every sin that I've committed? I don't want to come to church anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, that is a very natural thinking that we have a lot of times. You know, trust me, whenever I come and I know that I'm going to meet someone prophetic, I fast and pray. this is just honest truth. I say, Lord, even if I didn't commit a sin, just forgive me of it, right? Because, you know, we're like, there's that, you know, we don't want to be exposed, you know what I mean? Who wants to be naked, you know what I mean? And stuff, and so, but that's not what the prophetic gift is about. The prophetic gift is kind of a laser. It pinpoints what God is doing in our life today, right, that'll help us prepare for the future in a lot of ways. And so there is that prediction element, but it's not all that. You know, and there are so many times that the prophetic has come into my life, you know, and that for myself as well, I've been using that, you know. And so, you know, what I explained in that time is really the gift of word of knowledge. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me take a step back. Those who receive this, you can expect, and I mean this, you can expect. I know, you know, Jason said, what did you say, under promise and over deliver? Is that what? You know, yeah. Don't worry, right? You come expecting. You know, you come that God is going to do something for you. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, right, a couple of verses before, he says, "But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation." Right? And so this is what we're talking about, New Testament prophecy. We can expect, right, to be edified, to be exhorted, and to be consoled, or in other words, to be comforted. You know, some prophecies are directed by God to individuals, and some to the body of Christ as a whole, okay? And so this is how it works. Some people equate the gift of prophecy with good preaching. Now, sometimes good preaching is very prophetic. In other words, you know, like you come to service, you know, and, you know, someone preaches a message, and you feel like that was just for me, you know, or it was just like exactly what I needed to hear and whatnot. That would be considered a prophetic, you know, a prophetic message. But that doesn't necessarily mean that every message is prophetic. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? There's some people in the body of Christ that believe the gift of prophecy is the preaching of the word, you know, and that's not necessarily the case. There's not much evidence in the Bible for that kind of thought, right? And so messages can be prophetic, but not all messages are, right? That's just the easy way of saying it. A part of gift of prophecy is just this big thing. Under, kind of aligned with gift of prophecy, is what we call the gift of word of knowledge. The gift of word of knowledge is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to discover, accumulate, analyze, and clarify information and ideas that are pertinent to the growth and well-being of the body. I'll say it again. The gift of word of knowledge is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to discover, accumulate, analyze, and clarify information and ideas that are pertinent to the growth and well-being of the body. This is how it works. I just remember this so specifically. One of our missionaries that we support in Mongolia, some of you guys know Chung Ho. Chung Ho came to the conference years ago, and he came very, very skeptical. You know, he was going to ICA at the time, and he wasn't really exposed to this so much. He was really skeptical. In fact, his wife dragged him to the meeting. And so he comes up to the front, right, and Rob is praying for him. And the first words that Rob says, because I was busting up laughing, right, the first words Rob says is, "You don't want to be here. I know your wife dragged you here, but this is what God has for you." That is what's called a gift of a word of knowledge, right? And what the gift does, you know, in my estimation, the gift kind of opens us up to more of God's experience. You know, it's almost like a bait, right? God kind of throws it out there, and he gets us ready. You know, years ago, I went to go see this prophetic guy, and this guy was so amazing. I mean, this is when I started getting into it and stuff. And before he would share with you God's word for you, in other words, the prophecy, he basically tells you about your life. You know, and I kid you not, I was there, you know, one day and he calls some dude out, got his name, right? And then says, and you know, this is my memory is kind of shoddy, but it went something like this. Your sister's name is Clara, right? You live in this address, gave him the address. Your social security number is this. You know, I mean, I was like, what the world is this guy, you know? And obviously we think this guy's a fraud, but he's not a fraud. You know, and what basically is, and the whole idea is, I told you all that so you can hear this. And this is what God says to you. Da-da-da-da. You know, and I've seen the gift of word of knowledge kind of work in that way. And in Lauren Cunningham's book, Surprised by the... No, that's the other one. What's that one? Come on, you YWAMers, help me out. Yeah, is that really you, God, right? He talks about, in the book, he talks about when he had to go visit his aunt, and he didn't know where she lived or whatnot. And basically God said, get in the car and I'm going to show you, right? And so he was operating out of word of knowledge, right? He was driving and Holy Spirit said, left turn. He made a left turn, right? Right turn, made a right turn, right? Stop here. And he goes into, he knocks on the front door. It's his aunt's house that they haven't seen for ages. You know, that is the gift of a word of knowledge, right? It's special information that God gives to individuals. Now, it's not to expose people. You know what I mean? And this is where the fear comes in, right? You know, if someone has a gift of knowledge, are they going to know, you know, what I did 10 years ago? You know, when I did that really stupid thing and I smoked that thing, you know, is that going to be exposed, you know, during that time? You know, that's not how the gift operates. The gift is to bring life to us, not to bring death. It doesn't mean that rebuke is not a part of that, right? But just so you're aware, all right, people that operate in the gift of word of knowledge, you know, have a special ability to receive specific information, you know, regarding a person or a topic that cannot come from human means. It ushers people into the awe of God, and it gets them ready to receive the message of the Lord for them. Usually, the word of knowledge is not the message, but the precursor to the prophecy. You know, years ago, I started getting into this, and you know, I thought that maybe God had called me into to be a prophetic person and whatnot. And so, before every service, I would just pray and pray and pray for words of knowledge. You know, and the crazy thing was, it would happen all the time. In fact, I was so blessed this week. You know, Paolo was in Korea last week, and he mentioned that there was a young guy that joined the staff of his old church. And that guy, years ago, he was a friend of one of my high school students, you know, and he came to our Friday night service. I was praying in the back room, and when I was praying, God gave me his name, William Koo. It was just so clear, you know, and I was asking God for names, you know. I says, God, would you give me a name? You know, not to impress people, but you have something in mind, right? So you have something in store for this person. And so I remember specifically, I knew no one would believe me, so I wrote it down first. You know, I wrote it down on my notes, you know, and I preached the message. And I after the message, I said, okay, hey, there's a guy here. Your name is William Koo. Come on to the front right now, right? Because you're so unsure. You have to do with authority, right? You know, you have to hide the fact that you're scared to death, right? So come on right now to the front, you know, and stuff. And so sure enough, what happens? This dude comes up. I said, what's your name? It's William Koo. You got to be kidding me. I opened up, I pulled out my notes. See, look, I wasn't lying, right? Your name's right here. And the Holy Spirit just blasted this guy. And now, you know, that's why I was so happy, because now I just found out he's a pastor now, right? So, I mean, God had something in store for this young guy. And this is how the word of knowledge works. A lot of times, this is a hook that gets us in, and then it releases. It brings an anticipation, right, of what God is about to do in our lives, right? That's how the thing works, okay? Another gift along under side of this, we'll call the gift of the word of wisdom. Let me define this for you. The gift of word of wisdom is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to know the mind of the Holy Spirit in such a way as to receive insight into how given knowledge may best be applied to specific needs arising in the body of Christ. I read again. The gift of word of wisdom is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to know the mind of the Holy Spirit in such a way as to receive insight into how given knowledge may best be applied to specific needs in the body of Christ. You know, people who operate in this gift are able to find solutions to very complex problems. In other words, they're able to take the knowledge, and the key word there is wisdom, or is able to take that knowledge and bring the wisdom of God into it. Right? They're able to bring applications to complex situations. Right? And so the key would be wisdom. You know, and this happens to me a lot when I'm counseling people. You know, some of you guys know counseling is not a real gift that I walk in. You know, it's not something that, you know, that honestly I enjoy doing very much. You know, and so, but I do counsel people. I know that's part of what I do as a pastor. And when I'm doing it, I like it because, you know, I do like the one-on-one interaction and whatnot. But when I think of counseling, it's not an appealing topic for me. You know what I mean? It's like, how many of you guys are really happy about doing term papers? You know, it's kind of like that and stuff. And so, but you have to do it, right? And so I do the counseling thing, you know, and sometimes I find myself, you know, when people are sharing and whatnot, and all of a sudden I find God gives me application or gives me this wisdom to speak into their life. And I'll be honest to God, sometimes I'll be saying something and the other part of my brain says, where'd that come from? Like, wow, that's good stuff. I should record this or something, you know? And so, I mean, that's kind of how that gift of a word of wisdom works. You know, it's this kind of godly wisdom that comes down into a situation. And it's just so clear. You know, sometimes things are so murky, complex. You know, God uses people that have the word of wisdom to speak that word out. You know, and it brings so much clarity, and it brings kind of a conclusion to the knowledge, you know, or the things that are happening around there. And so this is the gift of word of wisdom, you know, that would also be underlined prophecy as well. You know, but you know, so you guys understand how it works. And so let me go to a few questions that have come up this last week. You know, what's the difference between the prophetic and fortune telling? Isn't that the same thing, Pastor Sam? No, it's not the same thing, right? And I tell you, all right, be very clear. I remember I was having lunch, you know, with one of our church members, and, you know, we're meeting, we're going out to some private kitchen. And so, you know, I was about 5 minutes late, and he, you know, had just actually spent the 5 minutes with a fortune teller, you know, and some Indian dude walked up to him, you know, he was in Central, and he says, can I read your palm? And our church member said, sure, go ahead, man, you know, and read his palm and stuff, and I was like, what are you doing? You know, I mean, he had no idea that he actually opened himself up to a demonic spiritual realm. Don't let anyone read your palms. Don't, you know, crystals, chanting, you know, I say this, even yoga on some levels is very, very dangerous. You know, if you're doing yoga for exercise, you know, knock yourself out, right? You know, but if you're doing, you know, that kind of stuff, I'm telling you, man. You know, in fact, I was reading this, yoga practitioners, what people do in the Western world, they do not consider that to be yoga. Because to a true yoga practitioner, it's not about exercise, it's about meditation. It's about filling yourself with these demonic teachings, in essence. And so if you're doing it for exercise, just simply do that. You know, if you guys have a time where you chant or whatever, just pray in tongues or say Jesus. You know what I mean? Just worship him or something, you know. Otherwise, if you're spiritually susceptible, don't even bother doing that, right? Do Pilates. Right? Stretch. Play some ball. You know what I mean? There's much more exercises out there that you can... I know yoga is really cool, you know, and stuff. And, you know, I tell you what, that's all part of demonic deception. You know, if you... You know, years ago, right, you know, all the I don't want to go over your head a little bit and stuff, but there has been, you know, in the Muslim world as well as the Hindu world, there has been an assignment, they strategized about 20, 30 years ago, how they can infiltrate Western thinkers with their philosophies, right? So the Muslims set up schools all over the Middle East, in fact, all over the world, you know, as well as the Hindus, right? And they thought that the avenue by which that we can bring this in is yoga. There's a really good book called The Last of the Giants by George Otis Jr., you know, that details this whole demonic deception, you know, that's really arising in the church. And so we have guys in church do yoga, chanting, opening themselves up to spiritual realm that they not ought to be doing, right? Because that is what we call idolatry, which God says, don't do, right? I mean, that's your first commandment. And things. And so there is a difference. The difference is a source. You have to understand this, and let me make this very clear. Only God can create. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking, right? Only God is the creator. Right? Now, and this is my whole thing, right? If there is fortune telling, you know, and most people don't have no problems with fortune telling, Why couldn't there be a prophetic? Because, see, that's the counterfeit. If there's counterfeit, there must be the original, right? You guys like my thinking, right? I mean, it's just natural, you know? And so if there's a counterfeit bill, that means there's an original bill. You know what I mean? The counterfeit is fortune-telling. The original is the prophetic. It's the source, right? The source of the prophetic is God operating through His Spirit. The source of the counterfeit, fortune-telling, tarot cards, palm reading, all these things, the source is the devil. It's demonic. It's deception. He's the father of lies. You know, and so it's not fortune-telling, right? We're not sitting here, you know, I'm just going to tell you your fortune, what are you going to be doing and whatnot. That's not the point of prophetic ministry. The point of prophetic ministry is speaking into our lives what God is saying to us today. That affects today as well as tomorrow. It can also affect the past. That's what the prophetic ministry is about. You know, and when I receive prophetic, that's the way that I've always received it. You know, God is giving me a message about my life, you know, today that affects tomorrow or the future or the past that He wants me to resolve or something. But it's for me, but the message is for me to draw closer to God, right? It's God's way of wooing me, introducing, you know, His purposes in my life so I may walk in accordance with it. You know, that's how it's fortune telling is just telling the fortune. You know, and I'll be honest, if that's what you're looking for when you come to the conference, you're going to be very, very disappointed, right? Because the goal is our relationship with God. It's not receiving some special information. Oh, God said I'm going to have a new job, you know, woo, weep, you know, big deal. You know, I mean, sure, it's good news, right? And stuff, but it brings us closer to the Lord. That if that's the origin, that's what it does, right? And so, you know, one will lead you into bondage, you know, and open the door to curses and evil, you know, and while the other will lead you to life, you know, and open the door of God's possibilities. And the other side, you know, it's the Pastor Sam, why is it so mysterious? You know what I mean? I mean, what's all with all this vision, all these things? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. He says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away." Right? The perfect is obviously referring to Jesus when He comes, right? He says we see dimly in a mirror, and unfortunately, that's why it's a bit mysterious. We just see dimly in a mirror. We only see in part. You know, and a lot of, for me personally, I feel like the reason why God does that, right, because there's that sense of bringing us into relationship. You know, the honest truth, if I knew what I was supposed to do, you know, like I got a word and this is what's going to happen, I don't really need God anymore because I'm just going to go do it, right? But there's a part of God leading us a step at a time, you know, revealing a little bit here, revealing a little bit there. You know, we see only in part, dimly in a mirror, because it brings a humility and it brings a desire to get to know God more, and it brings, you know, a real clinging to God that I can walk with Him. Because even though I see something, God, I still need You to help me walk through this thing. You know, like if you knew everything, you wouldn't need God anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I already know. I'm just going to go do my work. You know, I'm just going to take care of business here. You know, but see, the prophetic word is to bring us into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? It's to bring a hunger in us. It's to bring an attitude where we crave and we long for Him. Right? That's the gift of the prophetic. You know, also, turn to Numbers chapter 12. Let me illustrate this a little more through the scriptures. Sorry. My throat has almost about had it. Numbers chapter 12. This is God speaking to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam when they were kind of, you know, squabbling and, you know, talking down about Moses. And so God comes on the scene. And look what God says. Numbers chapter 12. Verse 6 and 8, he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" Look what he says, if there is a prophet. In other words, it's not talking about people that don't operate in the gift. He's talking about people that operate in the gift. And he says that he's going to give them a vision, right? He's going to reveal himself in a dream. You know how many dreams you have every single night? I was reading some books on dreams because I wanted to know. You know, and you have thousands of dreams every single night, medically proven, thousands. And then God's going to take one of those dreams and speak to you through that? Can you believe that? When you wake up, you're lucky if you remember one or two of them. You know what I mean? And stuff. And I have one prophetic dream a year. That's like my quota, right? God gives me one, you know, and stuff. And, you know, it's because God gives me only one, I know it's God and stuff. But still, you know, I get other dreams. And, you know, like, have you ever gotten to woke up and had some funky something happen? And God, is that really you? It's probably not. It's the pizza that you ate the last night before, right? You know, and you got an upset stomach, and so your mind was going crazy. You know, and all the air was going to your stomach instead of your brain, you know, and it created all these things and stuff. That's basically sometimes what happens. But he says God speaks to prophets, people that hear from God, people that get special messages from God in dreams. And then he says, and then he gives them dark sayings. You know what dark sayings are? It's like, you know, someone says something, you're like, huh? That's a dark saying. Right? God gives you a message, you're like, huh? Is that really you, God? Right? That's basically what dark sayings are all about. You know, and it's this level of mystery that comes. And prophets get this, right? And so there's a sense of mystery. There's a sense of the unknown, you know, and God does that to, you know, personally for me, I think to really bring us into humility, right? That we can be on our knees to really pray for these things. You know, it seems like, according to Numbers, the key to hearing God's voice, the key to operating the prophetic, right, is having a friendship with God, right? It's just really simple, having a friendship with God. 1 Thessalonians, so in conclusion, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, I know that some of you may have more questions. That's next week, okay? So I don't want to speak too long today. So what should be our attitude should be? 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 and 20 says this, do not quench the Spirit, and do not despise prophetic utterance. Or another translation would be, do not despise prophetic gifts. Right? We are to welcome it. We are to be open to it. We are to receive it. Right, this is normative Christian behavior. I will say this, though. When you are receiving a prophetic gift, it's very important the person that's giving it to you. Right? Revelation chapter 19 says, right, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Right? Very clear, right? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. In other words, right, the person that's giving the prophetic word, That person better be like Jesus. You know what I mean? That person better embody the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the only way that I come into, you know, and if someone is going to pray over me or prophesy over me, I'm going to darn make sure that person is credible, right? Because there's a lot of false prophets operating in the world, in the church, you know, and so we need to be very aware. They have to have the character of Christ. Now, in our setting, obviously, you don't know Rob and Mary very well, right? And so you're going off my word as your pastor. You know, this is why this pulpit is very important. You know, we don't let any knucklehead behind this thing, right, except for me. I'm the only knucklehead that can preach on this thing, right, and stuff. And so, you know, this is my word as your pastor saying that the people are coming in a few weeks are credible and they have the character of Christ, right? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, and they have to have that mark in their life. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Mm-hmm.